Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you so much, Daryl. You know, it's just amazing how many minors received, transgender surgeries under the Biden administration after they kept assuring us that it was going to be so rare and really never happening with minors. So that was very interesting. Thank you for everything you shared. So tonight I'm going to share some things about the Catholic Church, and then I'm going to share a couple of visions that I had, a couple of dreams that I had, and then a word the Lord gave me Sunday, or Sunday night to Monday. And then a vision, it's really a prophetic release that the Lord had given me back in 23. I shared that with everyone before, but it seems so relevant right now. And then kind of bring in a challenge at the end. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Father. I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Father, for who you are, and I thank you, Lord, for these praise reports. I thank you, Father, that you are bringing into the light what has happened in the past under the former administration, and how many children who had their lives, some irreversibly changed because of an ideology. And Father God, I just thank you that you have made some promises on their behalf. And that, Lord God, there's coming a day you're going to intervene and heal them. I thank you for that, Lord. Father, I pray that you would settle things around us and that you would bring forth your grace, and that you, O Lord God, would just open up the eyes of our understanding, that we can hear what you are saying, and that we can apply these things and understand where we are in the times, and help us to be able to step into a commission, Lord God, on behalf of the promises that you're making. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you. Thank you for your grace and your love. In your precious name, amen. So, so tonight, you know, Mom shared about Babylon and about the Catholic Church last night, and I'll be sharing about that as well tonight, not Babylon necessarily, but about some things that the Lord showed me. And these are dreams that I had more than 3 decades ago that I feel are the timing of it is now, in the very, very near future, rather. And so I wanted to be able to share that with you so that you could be praying into it and recognize it when you see it. So praise God. You know, there's so much happening right now. It's really amazing, and it staying on top of everything and staying in alignment with God's plan and in alignment with his will is really a very important discipline for each and every one of us. Okay, so first the dreams I had. So I had these dreams so long ago, but they were like almost seared on my brain. I don't remember the date I had them, It was definitely in the early 90s. And so my kids were very, very little. I didn't even have my youngest son, who was born in 95. So it was quite a long time ago. Okay, so the first one is the two-headed serpent. So in the 90s, I had a dream that I was in a Catholic church in South America. The priest was on the platform speaking. The pews were filled with people facing forward, but they had no clear focus. They seemed to be in a haze. They did not respond to anything. They were simply sitting there in the pews. Suddenly, a two-headed serpent came up through the flooring directly behind the priest. I jumped up completely alarmed by this, and yet no one else moved. They remained in their seats completely dazed. It was as though they were hypnotized. The serpent raised both of its heads and looked at the congregation. Each head targeted specific congregation members, and then it would come down head first and swallow them whole. It would repeat this pattern, raising each head again and again, and come on another member of the congregation. Still, no one moved. The priest didn't even flinch throughout this process. He just kept droning on. The people's eyes were completely glazed over, and I just shouted, "Wake up! Run!" And when I did, it was like the haze that everyone was in, it seemed to solidify, and then it cracked and finally shattered every piece of it, falling to the ground. And as the pieces dropped around the people, they blinked, shaking their heads to try to snap out of their slumber. It was as though they were trying to awaken from anesthesia. The serpent rose up again, preparing to strike, and a woman, finally noticing it, screamed as she watched one of the heads of the serpent come down on another victim. I shouted again, "Run!" And they jumped up and began running out the door. I stood outside the church looking back, trying to make sure everyone got out. I saw the serpent burst through the top of the church in an attempt to capture those escaping. And that's when I woke up. The dream obviously stuck with me. It's been over 30 years now. But I didn't know then what I know now about the Catholic Church. And so I really didn't know at the time what to do with this, except, you know, I told my mom about it, of course, and just tucked it away. The second dream, the catacombs. Again, this was also over 30 years ago. I was down, and if you've been with us any length of time, or perhaps at a GOE, you might have heard me mention this dream before. I was down in what appeared to be the catacombs. I walked carefully down this dimly lit, spiraled cobblestone pathway. As I walked, I came across crudely assembled prisons, areas that had been carved out of stone with iron bars, heavy doors, and thick locks to enclose the captives. As I approached the first section, I saw dozens of people in each cage. I walked further down the spiral, discovering more and more prisons lining both sides of the pathway. There were people imprisoned within these cages, not hardened criminals, but women, teenagers, children, and even infants. I felt the earth begin to rumble beneath us, and at this point, I realized I had a key in my right hand. I ran to the cage doors and quickly began unlocking them. I swung the doors open to let the victims out. I ran to the next, and they stood there in fear. I called for them to come out one after the other. They slowly moved forward. I reached in and started grabbing the babies. I quickly picked them up and handed them off to the young women to carry. The earth rumbled beneath us again, and I said, I think there's an earthquake. We have to move quickly. No guards are present. We have to go while we can. They remained quiet and slowly shook their heads. Fear emanated from them. I assured them they were safe, but only if they followed my directions and moved out now. Finally, they began to move up the pathway through the dark catacombs. The rumbling increased. I had no idea what would cause the earth to shake so violently, but I felt great concern that the cave might collapse. I dashed through the group of young people toward the back of the line, shouting, "Run! Run!" I didn't want even a single person left behind. something clicked in them. Perhaps faith was ignited in their hearts, but they started moving much faster now. Seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, they picked up speed. I handed toddlers to the older children and told them to go as fast as they could upward. I continued to move toward the back of the line to make sure they moved forward to safety. I made it to the back, looking around behind me to ensure that no one was left behind and that no one was following us. And I saw the tunnel moving. Something was back there, and it was a fast approaching. The tunnels were so dark, it was hard to make out what I was seeing, but it cut off all the light as it came forward, like it filled the tunnel. It was huge. The thing was the source of the earth moving. I shouted again, "Run!" adding, "It's coming!" Everyone ran as fast as they could. We reached the top and entered a foyer. I looked behind and saw that thing. It had a mouth. It was open and seeking to devour everyone in its path. I ran to the front and pushed the doors. They flung open and we burst out onto the street. And as I turned around, I looked up to see that we just came out of the Vatican. We narrowly escaped that beast. It was a serpent, but it was indeed a beast holding people captive under the Vatican. It retreated backwards into the depths of its tunnel, and I woke up. Now, again, both of those dreams were over 30 years ago. And when on Monday, after the Pope passed, I reached out to Mom, and we talked about his passing, and we started talking about things that she had seen, and she reminded me of these two dreams that I had, and I shared with her what I'm about to share with you now, and some things the Lord told me that's coming to the Catholic Church, and I think it's important that we know and understand what the Lord is saying, and that we look for the fulfillment of these things. And, you know, I know that the serpent is symbolic. I know that the Catholic Church is steeply involved in human trafficking, but I also believe, and I do know this for a fact, the spirit of compromise and the spirit of slumber work over the Catholic Church to keep people where they are. And so I think we need to, in addition to looking for what God is doing, we need to be praying that God is going to wake them up. So Sunday night, I was unable to sleep, and I lay awake praying in the spirit for hours, and then I would close my eyes for 15 or 20 minutes and be awakened by the Spirit of the Lord. I felt one level of darkness leave and another enter. Now, the last time I had a night like this was the night we pulled out of Afghanistan, and the Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock and had me praying over the Middle East. And then, you know, we got news that we pulled out. So at 6:30, a friend messaged me that the Pope had passed. And then, you know, I knew why I wasn't sleeping. I'm trying to be very cautious, because I never want to offend any Catholics or any recovering Catholics. My heart is for people to enter into truth, and for people to enter into the salvation message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my heart. That's my passion. And so in releasing truth, you know, it is a double-edged sword, and it does cut away the old, and it does kind of cut through and hurt a little bit sometimes. But, you know, the word of the Lord brings healing as well. And I think it's important for us to remember all of that. Okay, so the Lord began speaking to me about the situation with the Pope. The darkness I felt was a transition from one Pope to the next. I know the next one's not chosen officially yet, so I am aware of that. I'm just saying what I saw in the Spirit. The darkness I felt was a transition from one Pope to the next. The last pope was quite liberal. In fact, one wonders if he could be considered a Marxist. Everything he stood for, we fought against as a ministry and prayer. He authorized birth control. He embraced green radicalism. He even called for radical efforts to rescue Mother Earth, revealing his Ten Commandments to prevent climate change. He approved the LGBTQ plus ideology by embracing openly gay priests and same-sex unions. He called for open borders. He condemned national leaders who fought to protect their borders, and perhaps most importantly, neglected to protect the victims who came forward in the many priest abuse scandals that occurred in the Northeast several years ago. Instead of taking action to prevent a repeat of these events, he quietly moved those priests to different locations. That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the tip of his iceberg. And when you listen to what Daryl shared about these young people and our government funding transgender surgeries in minors, it breaks the heart, because when national leaders, when church leaders, you know, if a person is in a church, even if that church is a deception, okay, and when I finish saying what I'm saying, you're going to say, well, that's obviously a deception. But if they're in a deception and the leader of that church starts openly supporting the LGBTQ plus agenda, starts openly embracing transgender ideology for children, it is almost a stamp of approval by that spiritual authority. And so, you know, young people go through steps to make these decisions. You know, will they get the parents' approval? Will they get the religious leaders' approval? You know, can they get the doctor's approval? You know, especially under the Biden administration, was easy to come by. And if in most states laws were passed that psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors and therapists couldn't even appear to try to get at the root of why a child was feeling the need to change their sexual identity. You know, that's gender dysphoria. It doesn't warrant puberty blockers and sex operations. It warrants counseling to get at the root. What's going on in your world? Let's talk about it. 95-96% of teenagers that go through this, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, it's this phase of it, if left alone, by time they're in their 20s, they're already phased out of it. They're not on that path. But when you start introducing puberty blockers and you start introducing surgical intervention, you're moving into irreversible territory, and you're moving into sterilization at the very least. Even if they go off all the medications, they don't actually have surgery. They just go through puberty blockers and the sex hormone therapy. You're looking at sterilization. And, you know, that's why I really believe that this is in part population control. You know, they really don't care about the ramifications on the people. They just don't. So, okay. So, back to the Pope. Now, so when these religious leaders support it, and don't help give a biblical worldview as to why this is wrong and why this isn't the path they should take, then it's a stamp of approval. They have their teachers, their doctors, their parents, and their religious leaders. And kids run into this and have their lives forever changed. And it's heartbreaking. All right, so back to the Pope. The Lord told me that this Pope will be worse than the former combined popes, this next Pope. The heaviness I felt was from the darkness within this next Pope. That's what I felt as I awakened during the night and spent time praying. And then I would go back to sleep for a few minutes, and then I would be awakened. I was feeling the darkness from one Pope to the next. And it was heavy, and it was dark. And then I saw it. I saw, and it's so interesting because at the start of this, Daryl read from Exodus. I saw it, a massive exodus from the Catholic Church. The Lord is going to use this next appointment to awaken his people to come out of the Catholic Church. So why does this matter now? With the death of the old guard in the Catholic Church and the preparations and the entrance of the new guard, the Lord said the next pope again will be worse than the former combined. The spirit that reigns over the Catholic Church is a spirit of compromise, and it releases this spirit of slumber to keep the people wooed into its deception. And we've seen this tremendous increase in its reach. As today, many Christian leaders are partnering with and or linking themselves to the Catholic Church. The Catholics frequently refer to themselves as Christians. However, this is simply part of the deception. The ultimate goal of the Catholic Church is to bring all religions under their reign. If you consider the Abrahamic family house, which Mom referred to last night, this complex in Abu Dhabi features three houses of worship, a mosque, a church, which is the Catholic Church, and a synagogue. And they add that this is a place for Muslims, Christians, and Jewish communities to come together for interreligious dialogue and exchange. This compound is to be a physical manifestation of the document on human fraternity for world peace, which seeks to advance a culture of mutual respect and solidarity. And I would add that this is built in Abu Dhabi, where conversion from Islam is directly prohibited by law. The penal code for the UAE, that's United Arab Emirates, defers to Sharia law, which includes death. So you've got a quote-unquote Christian or a Catholic church right there, and it's... people come in on this compound, and they're right next to each other. It's quite an elaborate compound. The Pope that just died, he was part of this. And if they convert from Islam to anything else, they could be deferred to Sharia law. This is not an effort to coexist. This law in Abu Dhabi also prohibits displaying a cross on any building as a method of identifying it. It's teaching that Jesus is the only God is considered an insult to Allah or the Prophet Muhammad, and offenders can be subject to imprisonment for 5 or more years, fined tens of thousands of dollars, and be deported if, you know, they are not killed. The Abrahamic family house was overseen by Francis, who also condemned any nation which sought to prevent or even limit border crossings by Muslims or even Islamic extremists. Why? Why would he condemn France who has been overrun by Islamic extremists. Why would he condemn America, and we're facing our own challenges here? Why would he do that? Because their end time army is made up of Islamic extremists. When the new pope comes on the scene, he will be worse than the former. That's what the Lord said. Watch for it. So the decisions he makes and the messages he brings forth will not only be much more liberal than the former, but he will also take the tolerance and understanding message touted by Francis and drive them toward one world religion. In this process, the mass exodus will begin. Catholics are going to wake up. The decision and policies this next pope will work to implement will be so liberal and so alarming, it's going to serve as a catalyst to shatter the haze of these faithful Catholics and wake them up so they'll flee from the Catholic Church. I believe that people are held captive by the spirit of compromise over the Catholic Church, and that there are those who are held in bondage who God is going to set free. So when our ministry prays over the innocent who are held in bondage, prays for the innocent to come out, this is the group we're praying for. And we need to keep them in prayer because God has a plan for them. Look at what Mom said. She saw a great persecution coming to the Catholic Church, those that would seek to flee. So finally, I'm going to close with this, and I've shared this before. It's on our website, but I want to share this with you because the Catholic Church is involved in this, and I think it will encourage you. And as I read this, I want to ask you, Mom is going to be talking about the Catholic Church more next week. That article is on the website. We do have it, the New Temple of Babylon. It's in Chinese. Our Korean translator just sent me the Korean translation of it. I will put that up as well. So, but as I read this next section, I want to ask you to listen to the groups of people that the Lord was giving me. And then ask, really, really focus on it. And then I want to ask you to consider taking up one of these groups as part of your daily prayer, maybe two. Because people are about to be impacted by the Spirit of the Lord. The awakening is here. Revival is swirling. And when the awakening is here, it takes revival to a whole new level. What we see in Acts, the book of Acts, that is an awakening and revival. What we saw with the Azusa Street revival, that's not just a revival. That was an awakening. And it spread in 2 years to over 60 nations. So this is what we are looking for. This is what we're looking forward to. So as I read this, just consider taking up one of these for prayer, maybe two. This was called 10 Explosions Paving the Way for a Revolution in the Ecclesia. Now this is February of 2023. In February, the Lord took me into a time of prophetic intercession and warfare. After a period, I had a vision of revival spreading across the ecclesia, and the Holy Spirit compelled me to grab my journal. A release was coming. I've had some unique experiences with the Lord, but this one was quite remarkable as he downloaded in vision and through pen his plans for the ecclesia in the coming days. It was really this is a rarity for me, this type of experience. So again, this is February 19th, 11 days after revival broke out in Asbury. I saw several explosions in the spirit. A sonic boom began to ripple outward. It penetrated the minds of the youth, setting them free from oppression, bondages, anxiety, bitterness, and so on. I saw in living color our youth ignited for Christ. They were on fire for him. Think about the colleges. Think about the services being held at the colleges. As Daryl reads those praise reports, how many times has he addressed massive salvations, baptisms, and so on at universities? God is doing this right now. Right now. This is just the tip of the iceberg for our youth. I shared several weeks ago, now this is, you know, I gave this in February of 2023. What the Lord showed me was coming for our youth specifically, and you can read that on our website. So the youth is one group. Another explosion. The experience continued. The revival was completely uncontrollable, uncontainable, unregulatable. It broke through religious structures and began to penetrate churches across the nation. Those ready, those prepared in prayer and fasting were hit first with a wave of his baptism of fire. Pray for the churches that have prepared themselves, because they're about to experience something unlike anything they've experienced before. So that's the second group. Another explosion. Next, the Lord moved me into the charismatic and Pentecostal realms. Healings began. Both emotional and physical healings were seen. It was tangible. I saw walls come down between the races. Walls of division and strife came down. Reconciliation ensued. The wall of deception brought about by the elite crumbled before their eyes, and people saw the truth, and that truth set them free. So pray for the Pentecostal and the charismatic. Now, I know there's a lot of, you know, in some areas, there's a lot of corruption in the charismatic and Pentecostal type churches. It's been taken down quite a path. So pray for purity in this area, purity in the charismatic and the Pentecostal realms. Another explosion. The baptism of fire came to the Black Baptist churches across the land. The ripple effect was beyond imagination. They did not run and jump about. They fell on their faces under the revelation of their own hypocrisy. They saw their sin, and weeping and mourning over that sin broke their hearts for a season. They arose somber but cleansed, and then the Holy Spirit entered and grabbed hold of them. Scales fell from their eyes, and they saw the truth. Leaders could not restrain the exodus that began. Men like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson stood stunned by their own lack of ability to control or stop what God was doing. They hold a lot of control over the Black Baptist churches. A lot. And they're about to lose that control because God is going to visit those churches. So pray for them. That's another group. Another explosion. Baptist churches were hit with the Holy Spirit. A baptism of fire fell, and like tongues of fire that rested on the disciples in Acts 2, they were struck and began to speak in tongues. The fire of God fell upon them, and they received a revelation of the word unlike anything they'd witnessed before. The word became flesh and dwelt among them, became a tangible reality in their midst. Pray for the Baptist churches, that God will prepare their hearts for an invasion of his spirit. Another explosion. The stuffy churches in the nation were hit. Walls came down. Time and structure no longer mattered. They were activated. Now all that concerned them was being a part of what Holy Spirit was doing in the nation. There are churches that are so rigid They don't leave room for the Holy Spirit. They may teach on the Holy Spirit. They're Bible-based. But I'm telling you, God wants to take the church to an entirely new level in Him, where they are going to rest in His presence and not move. All they want to do is pray. All they want to do is read His Word. There's going to be massive repentance taking place right in their midst. Another explosion. Here it is, the Catholic Church. It was hit by a baptism of fire, and I saw a mass exodus. Some remained completely stunned over what they were witnesses, while others saw the truth, and the truth set them free. They saw Jesus, His work on the cross, and the path He created to the Father. The deception they'd been under was instantly shattered. Untold numbers came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Again, I ask you, pray for the Catholic Church. Consider the vision Mom had that persecution was going to come to those who try to leave. Great persecution. Pray for them. Another explosion. I saw congregants within several church denominations rise from their seats and run to flags reflecting the compromise within that church. The LGBTQ+, the Marxist BLM, the inclusive symbols, pro-choice flags were torn from their posts and ripped in two. People wept over the revelation that they were participating in platforms that represent death and destruction. They were broken before the Lord, and He restored their repentant hearts. Pray for the churches that are in compromise. There are many that are living according to a social justice or a social gospel. That's not God's justice. It's social gospel. And that is, it's not God's way. So pray for them. Another explosion. Divisive denominational walls came crashing down. The word became life. Remember a few weeks ago, I said there, I looked up how many Christian denominations there are. Over 45,000 Christian denominations in the world. Over 200 in America. There's 31,500 and something Bible verses. This is more denominations than Bible verses. Okay? So God is about to deal with this. The Word became life and dwelt among them as revelation poured out in their midst. Truth prevailed, and staunch leaders could not prevent what God was doing in their midst. Another explosion. I saw witchcraft attempting to stop this move, but the Lord suddenly brought to my remembrance a word He gave me years ago that I saw occurring here. Revival penetrated this arena. They bowed the knee to Christ and Christ alone. They're so open to the supernatural, so when Christ appears in their midst, they will run from the power of darkness and into the truth found only in His light. Pray for the witches. Pray for the light of God to enter their midst. Pray for them. Don't write them off. Because God is about to bring them out. This is Joel chapter 2, God pouring out His Spirit, restoring what the locust has stolen and bringing forth the latter and the former rain. He's going to visit us in unprecedented ways, transforming every level of society, young and old, rich and poor, men and women. He's coming to invade the nations, and He will pour out upon all flesh 10 explosions filled with a revelation of who He is. And again, I ask you, to consider those that I mentioned here, especially those within the Catholic Church. Take up one or two in your daily prayers and see what God will do.